Tonight, teach on the local church, and we'll pray before we get started. Father, we're very thankful to be a part of the local church. We're very thankful for your salvation. Lord, we're thankful for your words, thankful for an opportunity to be here tonight, Lord, and to do it freely and to get together, fellowship together, and learn what you have to say to us. Father, I pray that you would get me out of the way. You'd fill me with your Holy Spirit. Father, you would cover me in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and get said tonight what you want to get said. Lord, we pray that it would be profitable, not only for those of us here, Father, but to be able to teach others. That's kind of what we're driving at, to be able to disciple others and to be able to bring them along, feed them, to grow them up. And Father, we pray that tonight would be helpful in that we'd be able to see the importance of the local church and the way you use it and what it means to you and how precious it is to you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I want y'all to think back before we look at any verses to the time in your life where, you know, the Lord really got a hold of you. If you're here on a Thursday night doing a discipleship class, and then you're pretty sincere about what you're doing. And think back to that time. I think back to the time where the Lord really got a hold of me, and what it amounts to is, at that time, you were involved or getting involved in a local church. You were going to be sitting under a pastor who was feeding you, teaching you, growing you up in the Lord. And apart from that organism, apart from that growth, apart from that organization, that structure that the Lord set up, you cannot live the Christian life apart from the local church. It cannot be done. So the local church is something that's very precious to the Lord. It's something that He instituted, that the Lord uses, and the way He uses it, we'll start here. Let's look in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, start off. I know this is the second question on the list here, but let's start here. Ephesians 4, 11. You know, while we turn there, Ephesians 4, 11, if you guys have done any kind of personal work with people, you've heard somebody say, you know, I can worship God apart from whatever. I don't have to be in church to worship God, and I don't have to go into church in order to worship God. He's fine with the way I do things. And what that amounts to saying is, I can worship God on my terms. And that's actually not true. You can't worship God on your terms. In fact, Jesus Christ told the lady one time, you worship God in spirit and in truth. So what you're going to do is you're going to do it according to the way He sets it up. And apart from that, you're not going to do it. So when I say you cannot live the Christian life apart from a local church, it's because He set up the local church for a reason. And let's see what that reason is. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. We're kind of in the middle of something here. It says, and He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Those things, in verse 12, are the reason the local church exists. The perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, and the edifying of the body of Christ. If you think of edifying, an edifice is a building. It is building the body of Christ. You build it numerically, more bricks in the building, when souls get saved, and you build it foundationally and structurally down when people are strengthened in their faith and they can carry more of the load. That's the purpose of the local church. Now, what is the local church? We'll go back to number one here. What is the local church? I'll just ask y'all. You guys are here tonight. What is the local church? What is the church? The body of Christ. All right, looking at Ephesians 5. You're in Ephesians 5:30. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30. The church is the body of Christ. For we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. Now, if you're teaching this to someone, one thing to note is Jesus Christ is now up in heaven. Obviously, He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. He's up in heaven. But the work that He has to do is still carried on the earth. And the way it's carried on is through church, through local church. So the ministry continues, His ministry continues through a local church. It doesn't continue in, you know, whatever you can think of, but this is the way He's chosen to continue it. This is His body. So we continue the work that He had, that He's doing, that He's done here in the local church. So the church is the body of Christ, and of course there's many local churches around and members of that body. And we saw the purpose of it. Now there's something in Acts chapter 2, and I want you all to look at this. I got to studying this, and look in Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Got to studying this out and really learned a lot. One way I've been doing this, just kind of going through, opening the words of God, and just, Lord, what are You trying to say in here? Forget everything I've learned. Forget what you know, no preconceptions. Just read and learn. And it's refreshing to do that. But this is something that's you ought to memorize this, if not the entire verses, but at least where it's at. Because this gives out how the local church is going to accomplish the work that God has for it. It's Acts chapter 2, verse 41 through 47. And in every verse, you're going to see something different here. All right, he says, "Then they that gladly received His words were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine." That's the words of God. You've got them now in Scripture here, Peter and John and Paul's writings. "They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread, and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles." So they're using their gifts. Verse 44, "And all that believed were together and had all things in common." So there's a community form there. "And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need." So they're giving financially of what they've got. "And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people." And look at this, it comes full circle. "And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Well, that's how it started. He was adding to the church. And in those few verses, you see the cycle. This is the way the local church functions. So let's break it apart just a little bit here. Verse 41, "They gladly received His word and were baptized." So they became followers of Jesus Christ. The first thing a person does after they receive Jesus Christ, the first act of obedience, and you've already done a lesson on baptism, so we're not going to do it again, is baptism. You identify yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ, telling people publicly, "This is what's happened to me, and I am becoming a follower of Jesus Christ." What precedes that is they receive the word gladly. They receive the words of God. All right, verse 42. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship." That's preaching and teaching the words of God. So they're getting together, they're reading the words of God, they're hearing them preached, they're receiving them, and continuing in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. The next thing is breaking of bread. They continued in breaking of bread. The Lord's Supper, which you guys have already done a lesson on, so we won't do a lesson on that. But the Lord's Supper, and then also just getting together and fellowshipping together. And in prayers, Wednesday night prayer meeting. Look at verse 43. "And fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles." So that's the gifts being worked out. And if you see it on the paper, it's number five. Number six is verse 44. "And all that believed were together and had all things in common." So they're preferring other members above themselves. It's charity. When Paul says charity is the bond of perfectness, So you see that going on. And number seven, providing for the physical needs. In verse 45, they sold their possessions, goods, parted to them, every man as he had need. So there's some financial provision being made by the local church itself. And then the last thing comes full circle. Verse 47, praising God, having favor with all the people. So they're out in the community now. And the Lord added to the church such as should be saved. So you come full circle. He added to the church in verse 41. He's adding to the church in verse 47. So you see the cycle there. That's what a local church functions as. That's the way it looks. Now all that's kind of, it's educational. And it's good to remember those things. But when a person gets saved, the thing that as this class we're trying to teach discipleship lessons, not just basics, but how do you go on and teach someone else? I mean, if someone gets saved, what are you going to emphasize to that person about the local church? Because that's how they're going to grow. If they don't get involved in the local church, if they don't sit under preaching and teaching of God's words, the growth is not going to occur. And, you know, there's some real good sermons on isolation. And when you separate yourself from the body, you think about it, that's what animals do whenever they go and die. They separate themselves from things and they just go and die. It's the same way with church members. When they want to go and die or not want to go and die, but they separate themselves. And what they don't realize is that's the way the devil separates them from the herd and they die. So one of the first things to emphasize about this when you're dealing with someone who's a new convert is their spiritual nourishment. Their feeding, what they're going to get out of the words of God, is going to come from a pastor in a local church. We read in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, he's going through the gifts, apostles, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. God sets up those positions as shepherds over a flock in order to feed that flock and to watch out for that flock and to take care of that flock, to help it. Help it to grow, to help the body to grow. And the first thing to emphasize about when a person gets saved is get under the preaching and teaching of the words of God, because that's the way you're going to grow. That's where you're going to get your spiritual food. And eventually they'll learn to grow on their own, but they'll still have to be involved in local church and come under preaching and teaching. But the point is, and we've seen it in here, I know I'm feel like I'm preaching to the choir here, but faithfulness is something you have to teach people. They've come out of a life of, I don't go to church, and all of a sudden, wham, I go to church, I got saved, but my life is I've never gone to church before. They have to be taught how to do this. It's not going to come natural to them. So they have to understand the benefits of being involved in a local church. The second thing about this is, we read that we are members of His body, of His flesh and of His bone. We're members of the body of Christ. When a person gets saved, regardless of what they feel about it or think about it, or they have an identity in Jesus Christ. They are a member of that body. They may not act like a member of that body, and they may not look like a member of that body, but they are a member of the body of Jesus Christ. And their identity is now, tied. Their identity is in Jesus Christ now. That's where their identity is. And they have to be shown, be trained, how to function in that identity. And that, there are some things that you do and you don't do. Some things that will make you a good vessel for the Holy Spirit. Some things that will make you a bad vessel for the Holy Spirit. Some things that will, plug you up so the Holy Spirit can't work through you, some things that will make you dirty that the Holy Spirit can't use you for. And these things, for someone to understand, when you get saved, you are a member of the body of Christ. You may not feel like it. You may not, realize it or understand the whole concept of it, but you are a member now of the body of Christ. And the work that He was doing on earth is now part of the work He wants to do through you. And that's going to come through as you participate in the local church. Let's look down here. I'm already kind of covering some of these. What am I supposed to do? All right. Before we get to that, just that Acts 2, 41 through 47 is a great place to just, you don't have to memorize all the verses, just memorize where it's at. And so that you can reference it, and this thing covers the function of the local church, how it works out. All right, what am I supposed to do? A person gets saved. We're not looking at big picture, okay, the Lord's going to use you to pastor a church of 10,000 people, so you need to start getting ready for that, and you need to really get on the ball here and start doing this. And no, what am I going to do tomorrow? What am I going to do tonight? I just got saved. What's my next step? Because the way the Lord leads you, I love the verse about Enoch. It says, and Enoch walked with God. That's a step-by-step thing. And that's the way our walk is. It's step-by-step. And when a person gets saved, their walk is going to be step-by-step. Our walk is step-by-step. but they want to know, what is my next step? What do I do? Emphasize faithfulness in the local church. And I think a good way to emphasize it, if you can help someone to understand the way God works through a church and feeds them and ministers to them and have fellow laborers praying for them. I mean, if someone, you get into a bind, and you know, people get into a bind, they always end up at pastor's office or they end up in a church somewhere. It's just stay in the church. That's where you end up when you get in a bind. You stay out of a bind. Just stay in there. And emphasize the value of it and what God is doing with it. And that would help them understand the value of faithfulness to it. All right, what am I supposed to do? And we've covered some of these. Become followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We did baptism. Continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, number two there. That's faithfully attend to hear the words of God. One of the first things a person ought to do when they get saved is not want to run the master club's ministry, because that's not what they're supposed to be doing. The first thing a person does when they get saved is, you know, and we all know this, you don't want to be hesitant of someone that's kind of quick on the trigger to go do something. You want them to be zealous, but little by little, patience. The first thing to do is sit faithfully under some preaching and teaching. Just sit there and take it in for a little while. Because as a baby, as a new Christian, I mean, what does a baby do? They eat and they sleep. And then you got to change your diapers and stuff like that. But that's what they do. So as a new Christian, as a baby Christian, just eat. Just sit down. Just eat for a while. Do that for a while. Through that, eventually the Lord will give you some direction on what else to do. But the deal is, if you can't do that faithfully, there's no way anyone can trust you with anything else. I mean, they can't put you in any other position to help out because you wouldn't be a help to them. You wouldn't be a benefit to them. You wouldn't be edifying the saints. What you would be is a obstacle and someone trying to kind of constantly come back behind you and pick up the mess. So the first thing to do is be faithful to just sitting there and eating the words of God. Take them in. Be there so you can take them in. And just relax and feed for a while, just like a baby would. one other thing, on continuing steadfastly on number two there, is study the words of God. Now, that'll come in time, but if you can get started daily in the words of God, there's no substitute for, like we're talking about, just a daily walk with the Lord. I mean, you will address things, the Lord will address things in your life He will address problems. He will address whatever comes up just by you spending some time with Him, getting with Him in the words of God, praying and having some daily devotional time with Him. And whatever time that is, it's different for everybody. But the point is, step by step, day by day, spend some time with the Lord, studying His words, because eventually, at some point, the Lord is going to take in or use what He's filled you with, and He's going to put it out somewhere. And if there's nothing in here to put out, it's like He says in Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needs not be ashamed. What happens is when he squeezes to get the words of God out, the workman that hasn't studied is ashamed because there's nothing coming out. You notice when the Lord Jesus Christ, He's tempted in the wilderness, and He gets squeezed in that position. 40 days, and the devil's just every day, just, you know, why don't you throw yourself off here? Why don't you make this rock into bread? I mean, aren't you the Son of God? And tempting Him every day. But when He was squeezed, the words of God came out. Because that's what was in Him, was the words of God. That's why study is going to be important. As a young Christian, develop some time that you spend with the Lord. You want to find some time, and it's going to be morning, evening. I can't tell you what your schedule's like. But just daily, it's a daily, step-by-step walk with the Lord. Continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. That's the local church. It's part of the work. All right, continuing steadfastly in breaking bread, number three there. That's been covered, basically understand that. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. One of the things that's happened... We have Wednesday night prayer meeting. A lot of churches don't have a designated day of prayer. It used to be, from what I understand and what I read in history, it used to be a normal thing to have designated corporate prayer where people get together and they pray about others' needs. That's kind of gone out the window. That's something that you see it in Acts 12:5. You guys don't have to turn there, but what's happening, James has been beheaded, he's been killed, and Peter is still in prison, and the church is in Jerusalem is praying for Peter. As a church, they're praying for Peter. Actually, you know what, let's look at it. Acts chapter 12. This is corporate prayer as a body here. Acts chapter 12, starting in verse 5. The Bible says, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Well, there it is. Now let's see what happens. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Rise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself, bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, Cast thy garment about thee and follow me. So this is a quick thing. This is, let's get up and go. And he went out and followed him and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. So he just got woke up and he's kind of, what just happened here? When they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from them. So got him where he was going, and then the angel gone. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel, and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. Look up to verse... 15, he runs up to the gate, he's knocking at the gate, and they said unto her, Thou art mad, but she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, It is an angel. But Peter continued knocking, and when he had opened the door, they saw him, And they were astonished, but he beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. So they're praying for this in the same night. Here comes Peter. You know, it'd be like us praying Wednesday night, and at that night, you know, the knocking at the door, and then Peter's over there, and they don't believe it. You know, here's the answer to prayer, and nobody believes it, and Peter's out. But it's a great example of corporate prayer. The church is together praying, and not only corporately but personally. But corporate prayer is beneficial to the body of Christ. And you see how it is here. Church at Jerusalem is praying together. Personal prayer, you guys, I think, have done a study on prayer already. We won't do that. Number five. All right. This is, if you remember back, what we were looking at in Acts 2, where the apostles are doing these mighty things. They're basically using their spiritual gifts. The Lord is using them. As a member of the body of Christ, you serve a particular function. You're not the whole body of Christ. You're a member of it. So there are some things you do well that the Holy Spirit uses you to do well to edify the body of Christ. And then there are some things that we don't do well that other people do well. And they're spiritual gifts. And there's... I showed you the verses there, Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12. But if you think about this, to help someone understand their identity and their role in the local church, they are going to be pieced into this like a puzzle. And if the puzzle's missing pieces because they're absent, because they don't want to show up, because they, whatever, dropped the ball on faithfulness, they can't be used in the capacity the Lord wants to use them in the church. spiritual gifts are things the Holy Spirit uses you for, to edify, like we said, to edify other members of the body of Christ and to build it up. And they're different, they're different from offices, which we need to talk about too, but just to get to the point, the gifts... When you receive Jesus Christ, you're a member of His body. And being a member of His body means you are a member of His body. You are serving some function to that body that ministers to other parts of that body. And I don't know, you know, you'll find out what it is as you grow, whatever the Lord's going to use you in what capacity He's going to use you. But be assured, when you get saved, you function, there's a function for you in the body of Christ. God has a place for you that He wants to fit you into that body, or that He has for you to be used of Him to edify the rest of the body. All right? You guys understand those things. You know, I think one of I've used it before, and it's a pretty good illustration, but to use like a puzzle for someone to just understand, look, you're a piece of this whole puzzle. And if you're absent, the puzzle it's not going to function like it needs to function. And it's not going to look right. So God can't use absent people. He has to use people that are there. So faithfulness is important. And faithfulness is not only important for your benefit to grow, but it's going to be important for eventually down the road for your work that the Lord's going to use through you to other people in that body. Offices. The ones we'll deal with tonight, pastors and teachers and deacons. look in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Acts chapter 20, verse 28, and we'll read a couple verses here. This is Paul writing here, or talking. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and unto all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. All right, just think about that for a second. At the end of that verse, which He hath purchased with His own blood, That means the local church is extraordinarily precious to God. He paid the ultimate price for it. All right? It is extraordinarily precious to Him. And He's going to set men in that local church in offices as a pastor over a congregation to feed that flock. That's what He says there. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which He hath purchased with His own blood. So a pastor is like a shepherd, overseeing the flock, helping the flock, feeding the flock, helping it grow. And the pastor's primary work, look in Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6 and verses 1 through 4 here. The Bible says, let's look in verse 2. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. All right, so there's some stuff going on where they're having to serve tables and take care of other things. Verse 3, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves, now listen, this is the work of a pastor. We will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And God counts that work so important that He says, if the pastor is taken away from this work, then what you need to do is get some men to take over some of the stuff that he's having to deal with in order so he can do the work that I want him to do. And that leads to the next office, is deacons, to carry some of the burden for the pastor so he can dedicate himself to the work. Verse 4, we'll read it again, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. But verse 3, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. So God counts that ministry of the word and prayer of such importance and so needful to the edifying of the body of Christ that He says if the pastor is involved in stuff that's taking him away, at least in this church in Jerusalem, He says we need to appoint some men to take over it, cover these tables, so the pastor don't have to take over the tables and he can continue ministering the words of God and in prayer for the flock. So those are the two offices that exist today, pastors and deacons. But that's good. Those are the two offices today, pastors and deacons. And the deacon is there to help the pastor do the work that he's trying to do, that the Lord is trying to do through him. And as time goes on, He raises up men to apply themselves to the work and basically take up some of the slack, take up some of the burden so the pastor can do what the Lord wants him to do. Those are the offices. There are no other offices in the church. There's no, you know, committee chair or anything like that. In the Bible, these are the offices. Now, there's some organizational things that you can set up in the local church, but we're just dealing with these offices in the Bible here. So ministering as a member of the body of Christ. Number 6, this is preferring others above yourself. Living charitably. if you look in where we were in Acts 2:44, it says, and all that believed were together and had all things in common. So they're sharing everything, having all things in common. One thing that Paul says in Corinthians is charity edifieth. And if you remember, edification is one of the works, one of the things that God's going to accomplish with the local church. And Paul says charity does that work. Charity edifieth. We'll look at this for just a little bit here. 1 Corinthians 13 is a great chapter on charity. A very a real sobering chapter on charity, because at the end of, let's look at it, 1 Corinthians 13, we'll just look at this here. He's talking to some guys, talking to the Corinthians who are comparing their gifts, they're trying to see who's more spiritual, they're trying to compare themselves among themselves, and kind of patting themselves on the back for the grace they're showing to the fornicating brother, And Paul's just, you know, you've got this thing totally backwards, totally wrong. In 1 Corinthians 13, he says some things about charity. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. That's what God hears. You know, you're hearing, oh, well, you know, testifying and talking and, oh, brother, how you doing and all that. And God just hears this clang, 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 clang. And that's what he hears. And then he says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, look at those three words, I am nothing. Wow. You think about that and think about how much of the work that goes on in churches is nothing. In God's eyes, it's nothing because it wasn't done charitably. Look at this. And though, in verse 3, and though I bestow all my good, now they're giving. Hey, giving's a good thing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned. Wow, that's something, that's a tremendous sacrifice there. And have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Wow. So you burn your body and give it to the fire, and God says without charity, it didn't profit you. Wow. So he goes through, and I mean, charity, that's one of the things that the church in Jerusalem talks about it in Acts 2:44. And it's part of the function of the local church. A local church can't function properly without charity. It's amazing. You read that. You can do all these things. You can have these gifts. You can be exercising the gifts. You can be doing these things. And God says all this stuff can be going on. And all this stuff can be happening. But without charity, it's just bang, clang, clang, just nothing. The work is not getting done. All right, so charitably, living charitably, the bond of charity is perfect. Colossians 3:14, I think, is the verse here. Look in Colossians 3:14. Put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. If you think about a building and how that building holds together with mortar and this church, this local church is likened to a building. He says that that charity, which is the bond of perfectness, that's the mortar, the bond. That's what holds the bricks together. I gave you a couple more verses on charity there, but that's part of functioning as a local church, living charitably among each other. The next thing, we are on number 7 here. And if we go back, let's do this. Let's go back to Acts chapter 2:45 and see what's happening with the local church. Acts 2:45. And it says they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Now we're, this is it. So if you get number 7 right, rest of it, just don't even worry about. So they're giving, tithing, offerings. This principle set up, it started with Abraham back in Genesis chapter 14, where there's a man named Melchizedek, and he ministers to Abraham spiritually, and Abraham gives him a tenth of everything he has. And so there is a principle set up where a man gets ministered to spiritually, and then he gives of some of his possessions to make provision for the man. And you'll see it, look in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. See how the Lord sets this thing up. And Paul says it's a light thing. You know, if I'm going to minister to you spiritually, it's a light thing if you just make some provision physically. 1 Corinthians 9:13. Do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? That was the priesthood. And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, so on. But he's telling the Corinthians, he didn't do that with the Corinthians because they were so messed up. He just worked with his own hands and didn't take anything from them because he's trying to straighten out their mess. But the principle is that giving is involved. When you're ministered to spiritually, you make provision physically. And that's what keeps the lights on. That's what keeps the local church, provides what you see here, provides what you see out there. But giving, let's look in 2 Corinthians 9. Y'all know this one, but we'll look at it anyway. 2 Corinthians 9, 7. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And the reason he loves a cheerful giver is because that's the type of person that's most like him. That God so loved the world that he gave. When you love something, you give to it. And it's a good indication of your love for it and what you're willing to provide for and give to it. I was thinking of something, but I forgot. Maybe it'll come back. All right, number 8, witnessing for the Lord. Now, we've gone in Acts chapter 2, 41 through 47. We've gone full circle. The Lord added to the church. The local church starts functioning in this capacity in these 7 things. And now, number 8, we're back to adding to the local church. Building more, putting more bricks into the building there. look in Romans chapter 10. Because this is one of the functions of the local church. To be a light to the community. To put the words of God out. Which we are getting ready to do. Which we've been doing. We're getting ready to make a specific effort with the New Testament. All right, Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? That is, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. All right, so he asked some logical questions there that are answered by the provision of the local church. This is how God preaches to the community. This is how God gets the words of God out, provides a light to the local community where you're at, the folks around you, your neighborhood, witnessing for the Lord, evangelizing, and which leads to sending out missionaries up in Acts 13, where not only is it a community thing, but now this church has grown and they've been edified, and now they're making their own, raising up their own preachers and sending them out to other communities. So it comes full circle. You see the whole thing. And balance and all these things, I'll just say this. You've got 8 things here on your list, and you see them in Acts 2, 41 through 47. 8 things. And balance in these things is the way it should work. When you emphasize one thing over another of these 8, of these things, the way the Lord set this up, then you're going to have a problem. For instance, you guys are familiar with some of these things where let's just say evangelism is so emphasized where we got to go out or get the world and do that everything else is missed, and you end up bringing the world into the church. This stuff is done in balance. It's done the way the Lord wants it done, and you don't want to emphasize one thing over another. you can see how this thing, it's a cycle. It works this way. So, with all that in mind, with these things we've covered, all these 8 things, becoming followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, continuing steadfastly in breaking of bread, continuing steadfastly in prayer, ministering as a member of the body of Christ, preferring others over yourself, providing for the physical needs, and then being a witness for the Lord. Those things, if you can get a hold of those things and understand how the Lord works and uses the local church, and it's easy to identify and answer questions like, I put a couple questions on here and you guys will encounter more questions, but it's like Pastor was saying, I guess it was last night, when you understand the real thing, then the counterfeit is easy to spot. And so when someone talks about a religion, is the local church a religion? The answer is no, the local church is not a religion. It is the body of Christ is what the local church is. You can see those little review questions there. Now, a couple of things here. How do I join a local church? We'll address these. And every church does it differently. I put a little answer there. If you've already received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you speak with the pastor about joining a congregation, because that question comes up sometimes. You know, okay, I've been coming to your church. Is there like some process I got to go through to join? Is there what do you do? talk to the pastor. And I'm talking to you guys as though you would be telling this to someone else. Because if you lead someone to the Lord and you disciple them, you'll get questions like this. Like, is there some protocol to join your church? What do we do? And generally, you know, you get baptized after you get saved, and then that's a good opportunity to become a part of that local body. Every church, you know, does it different. And then the question, how do I find the church God wants me in? That's a good question. The first thing about it is to understand what a local church is supposed to be doing, which we've covered in this little lesson here. And if a local church is doing these things, or if it's not doing these things, then you know this church can't provide for the edification, it can't do the things it needs to do. But if it is doing these things, and it is fulfilling the work that God has for it, after some diligent prayer, and then, you know, I've always found that, I've been to a couple churches and haven't been church hopping any. But the one that you feel at home at, if they're doing the things that the Lord wants them to do, after that, and after diligent prayer about it, and you go there and you can feel at home there, you're getting fed there from the pastor, that's a pretty good indication that this is where you ought to be. Particularly if the pastor is actually, you're getting something. I know all of us can testify to that. We come here, we sit under the preaching, we were ministered to by it, and so we stuck around because we were getting fed by the preaching and teaching of God's Word. So those things are reasons to join a local church or to be a part of one. A bad reason to join a local church is to be a missionary to that church, to go there to straighten it out. Okay, God doesn't send you to a church to straighten it out. You are not God's hitman or whatever to go straighten out a pastor or to get him on the right track. God doesn't send people to do that. If the church isn't doing what it's supposed to be doing, you don't really need to be there. So that would be a bad reason to get involved in a local church. Main things here to remember, just to sum up, when a person gets saved, the main things to remember are, number one, the local church is a precious thing to God. He has purchased it with His blood, and it is a very precious thing, and the people He puts into it are precious to Him. And the pastors He puts over the congregations are precious to Him. And the souls in that local congregation are precious. And the next thing is, after you get saved, is come and just feed a while. Just take in what you need to take in. You don't need to be a big shot, whatever, you know. You don't need to lead anything right off the bat, and you're not going to be able to. What you need to be is faithful. And you need to be faithful just to show up, to get what you need from God's word, from the pastor, and pray with the folks, and just be faithful to show up for a while. Because, like I said earlier, and you guys already know this, if you can't be faithful just to show up, you can't be relied on to do anything else. So, first and foremost, the person gets saved, what do you tell them? Just show up for a while. Just come and just show up for a while. Eventually, the Lord will lead you where He wants to lead you and move you where He wants to move you and, you know, put you in the position He wants to put you in. But just show up for a while. Take it in. Study the words of God. Take notes on the preaching. Pray with the folks on Wednesday nights and just show up for a while. And these things will work themselves out. Your gifts will become evident as you grow. You'll learn how to give. These things that we went over are all things that people have got to be taught to do. They don't come into this thing and they know how to give. I mean, it's very rare that someone would get this stuff right off the bat, but they have to be taught these things. They have to be taught the importance of these things and taught how the local church functions, how they're a part of that. And that's why I emphasized at the beginning, when you get saved, regardless of what you think, believe, feel, whatever, you are now a member of the body of Christ. You can have a good testimony as a member of the body of Christ, or you can have a bad testimony. You can allow the Holy Spirit to work through you and continue the work that Jesus Christ was doing, or you can quench the Spirit and stop the work. But regardless of that, you are now a part of God's work. You can either help in the work, or, like Randy said, you can become the work. So, your identity is now in Jesus Christ. You are a piece of the puzzle now. And emphasizing that to new converts, new Christians, is just be faithful, show up. These things will come in time. You will learn how to do these things in time. You're not going to do it overnight. As I know we can all attest to that. We all learned it as we went on. But being faithful will get you to learn these things. If you're not faithful, you won't ever learn these things. But if you're showing up right and you're there, you will learn these things and learn what the Lord wants you to do. So, with all that said, I'd say Acts 2:41 through 47 is a great place to just stick in your mind to think, what is a local church? How does it function? This is how it functions. Those few verses. What is a local church? It is the body of Christ. What is the church? It is the body of Christ. What is the purpose of it? It's in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. It is to edify, to minister, and to the work of the ministry, the edification of the saints, perfecting. Those three things is the purpose of the local church. And what God has and the way He does things is through that body.